Who was this man? Who was Jesus? Who was Jesus? This man that showed up on the scene to deliver us from our sin. You know, we go back to Genesis, and Genesis begins to tell us with the fall of man that there would be one that would come and bruise the serpent. And there would be one that would come and to have victory, even though it's just very alluded in the book of Genesis. There would be times in the Old Testament in which Jesus would appear, and probably people didn't quite understand who he was. We call that a Christophany, but Jesus would show up to different people. And it wouldn't be until the book of Isaiah, in which we read that some bold statements are made about this servant that would come. In Isaiah chapter 52, there's an introduction to this servant that would come. And it doesn't necessarily say it would be Jesus, but we know who it was pointing to. The end of chapter 52 in Isaiah speaks of this servant that would come. And in the beginning of chapter 53 of Isaiah, I ask you to turn in your Bibles there for just a moment. We see that a turn takes and more instruction and information is given on who this servant would be. And actually, more than who he would be, what he would do for us. And what is it that he would do? In Isaiah chapter 53, we're speaking of this servant. And notice with me, Isaiah chapter 53, notice what Isaiah the prophet tells us. Speaking of the servant, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. And then at verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We know who this passage is talking about. We know who this servant is. Because if we continue to read in the scriptures, it's declared to us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was going to come to this earth. He was going to come for a reason. He would come to declare who the Father was, but ultimately he came to deliver you from your sin. You say, Pastor, how so? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, every one of us is a sinner. The Bible says very clearly, for all have sinned. Isn't it true? Every one of us is a sinner. We have sinned. We have gone against God. We have gone against His word. We have gone against His person. We have done our own things. we have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God in His holiness, never sin, never dirtiness, never darkness, never any dark about Him. He was pure and clean, and we fell short of that in our sin. Going on in the book of Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for that sin is eternal death. For the wages of sin is death. In other words, eternal separation from God. Every one of us in our sin is working for that eternal separation, working for that death. Every one of us. I don't know about you, but that is a very disturbing set of truths. I'm a sinner, and I deserve hell. I deserve death. I never deserve to be with God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God sent His Son to be our Savior. God sent Jesus Christ to come and to die on the cross. Just as you watched up here, He was there to deliver His people from sin so that they could have eternal life. And that was good news. It was exciting news. You know, when the Messiah came, Jesus came to His own people. He came to the world. He came to declare Himself as the Messiah. I think about that day a week before Jesus rose, in which He went through the streets of Jerusalem, and everybody hailed Him and said, "Hosanna," and proclaimed Him to be the deliverer. And it would only be within a few days, though, that they would turn on Him. And within a week, Jesus Christ would go to the cross and He would pay the penalty for sin. But the end result, as we just saw in the video, there was all of this hope and it seemed absolutely lost. I mean, think of it. Think of this man coming and He is declaring Himself as the Messiah. And He comes through and people are actually declaring Him as the Messiah. And all of that hope, I mean, here He is, finally. There is one that's going to deliver us. Now, those people thought it was going to be more of a deliverance from Rome, military, economical deliverance. But Jesus was coming to save people in a very spiritual way, to deliver them from their sin. You know, and even if all of those people recognized the deliverance from sin, which I don't believe they did, but even if they recognized that, all of hope was lost when Jesus went to the cross and they nailed Him to that cross and He died. And you can just think, you know, these people had waited and waited and waited for the Messiah to come. You know, I go back to the beginning of Jesus when He was born. And right away, there in the temple, do you remember those two elderly people that we read of in the book of Matthew? Right away, or Luke, we read of Simeon. Simeon was there, and he had waited his entire life for what he called the consolation of Israel. He had waited in life for the Redeemer. He had waited for somebody that would deliver His people from their sin. He waited for that. And as he held baby Jesus in his arms, he said, "I am ready to be delivered. I'm ready to die. I am because I have seen my deliverer." And then Anna, and she came, and she had similar thoughts. And these people had waited. And now Jesus Christ had gone to the cross. He went to the cross, and they killed Him. He died. And it was at this stage in which we find the closest people around Jesus really wondering and really questioning, struggling. So put yourself in that position. The Messiah had come, somebody that was going to come and deliver His people. And now he's hanging from a cross. They get Him. They take His body off the cross, and He goes and He's buried in a tomb. And He's there. What would be going through your mind? Where would your hope lie? the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of sinful mankind had come to take and to take hold and to own and to deliver his people, and now he's dead. He's dead. What kind of a story is this? It's certainly one that would bring an overwhelming thoughts to our minds. Bring a person to a place of desperation, fear, anxiety, hopelessness. I can't help but believe this is where Mary was at. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to put yourselves in Mary's position. Matthew 28, 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I've thought about Mary there, as she is there, and she would be one that had waited for this deliverer. She knew that something special was about this man. And now he's dead. Now he's gone. He's been crucified. He's been in the grave. Dead. It had seemed like all of hope had been gone. You know, there are many of us that go through times in life and we also feel in a place of desperation, defeat, discouragement, struggle. In fact, it seems like we as humans get to that point very often. You know, there have been times in the past where we've struggled, we've been defeated, we have been, you know, maybe we have done wrong, we have sinned, and we know that we have received forgiveness from the Lord, but we continue to go down that path, and overall there becomes at a certain point in time a sense of defeat and discouragement. It's like, I can never get over this, I can never be delivered, this is never going to happen. You know, I know that God said it, but we're never going to see this promise, this deliverance that God has come, and now we're here, and there isn't any hope. So many people are there. So many people live their lives in this situation where they feel that they can never be delivered because the deliverer has come, had come, and now he was dead. Now he was gone. All hope was lost. And we get to verse 6 of chapter 28 of Matthew, and we read this tremendous verse. This angel speaking to Mary, saying, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And this was interesting news to Mary. He's risen, he isn't here. And I want to examine just for a few moments before we leave this morning. I want us to examine what this phrase meant. He is not here. He is risen. He's risen. He is risen. What does the word risen mean? He is risen. We know it comes from the word to rise, right? To rise. Very simply put, We're talking about a change, very simply, a change. When we think of somebody that rises, we think of somebody that's down, somebody that's laying, somebody that's below. And when they rise, of course, they make themselves up. But we see a change. There's definitely a change. A change in position. Now we know that when we read this in the scripture that he has risen, we're talking about his change from death to life. The question is had Jesus truly died? The answer, yes, he had. He had truly died, and it was confirmed. He had given up the ghost. Some might say that he really didn't die, but they made sure, those soldiers made sure that he was dead. Not just in sight, but they witnessed that blood and that water. They witnessed that death. They witnessed it. They witnessed that dead body, and he indeed was dead. They had taken him. They had placed him in the grave. He was dead. But this day, Jesus had risen from the dead. And as we look at that word risen, he had changed from death to life. He was alive now. There was no mistake about it. And the disciples were able later to go, and they were able to see him. They were able to touch him. They were able to feel. They were able to listen to. They were able to be around him. He had risen. For him, it was to go from sleep or death to awaken to life. For you this morning, I share with you that there is to be risen is a change, but it's not just in life to or from death to life, but it's in your circumstances, it's in your struggles, it's the things that you're going through. One of the things that I like about Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is there's a significance of new. There's a significance of life. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters that are here today, or anybody that's here, can I tell you that this day that we celebrate isn't just seeing that Jesus rose from the dead and he wasn't in the tomb any longer. There was significance for each one of us that God always makes a way for us to start over. And that is so encouraging. You might be here this morning defeated, discouraged in your sin, in your struggle, in your circumstances, in life. Can I tell you that there is hope? In the videos, there was the question, has hope been lost? The answer is no, it's not lost. There is hope because of the resurrection. See, Jesus changed not only things for himself, but when he rose from the dead, he changed it for you. He changed your circumstances so that you could have life. This verse says, he is risen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, turn there quickly. I don't have a lot to this message. But Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, and you hath he quickened. That word means to make alive, to give a new opportunity to start over and have life. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wow, and the story continues to go on in the book of Ephesians of how that people who would place their faith and trust in Jesus would have life and victory over their sin. The phrase says, he is risen. He, the Savior, the Deliverer that had come for those people that had appeared to be defeated. Everyone thought that when Jesus was in the grave that he was defeated. There wasn't any deliverance any longer. The Messiah has died. He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't who he claimed. There is no hope any longer. Now what are we going to do? But Jesus rose from the grave. It says he is risen. The Savior and the Deliverer had died, but now he was awakened, indicating that defeat itself, follow this, defeat itself had now been defeated. For 3 days, it looked like there is no hope. There have been days in our lives that we feel no hope. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I want you to think, are there areas in your life where you feel like there is no hope? Can I tell you today, based on today, based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection, God is shouting out loudly, there is hope, because I have defeated all defeat. Did you hear that? Jesus Christ has defeated defeat. You don't have to live in defeat any longer, because Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen. He has declared defeat over your defeat. Your enemy is slain. Your enemy is dead. You no longer have to serve yourself and your sin. You can be delivered. He is risen, just as He promised. He promised that. Take your Bibles and go back to Matthew chapter 16. There were times when Jesus had promised of what He would do. These people were shocked. Their deliverer had been defeated, yet they were shocked when He was there on the cross. They were shocked and discouraged when He went to the grave. But He had told them that this would come to pass. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, yet, and be raised again the third day. In chapter 17 and verse 23, we read, Matthew 17, 23, and they shall kill Him, and the third day He shall be raised again. They were exceeding sorry. You see, they didn't understand. And then in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 19, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him, and the third day He shall rise again. As we close, can I give you something very practical and yet very personal? The Scripture says He is risen. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ came into this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this earth so that He could deliver you from your sin. From your sin. Not only from the death of the sin, not only the penalty of the sin, hell, not only the separation from God, but He came to deliver you from that nagging ability to pull you into that sin that doth so easily beset you. Folks, do you realize that we have a tendency to go towards sin and to keep on in sin? But Jesus came to deliver you from sin. Your have to sin. He came to deliver you from that, to deliver you. And when Jesus Christ came, there was deliverance. Yet the one that delivered died on the cross. But He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He rose for you. Can I tell you, friend, here this morning? Jesus Christ, everybody listen. He came to deliver you from your sin. He came to change your life. God never meant to send Jesus to live on this cross for 33 years, give you a place to go to heaven, and let you stay here on this earth, continuing to live in the sin that's killing you. He never intended to do that. He never intended for you, all you who are out here today, God never intended for you to live this life as Him as the Savior, continuing on in your sin, to live as a way of life. He never intended that. The Christian life is not meant for you to just go out and leave this building here today and just be dead in your sin and just wallow around in the muck and the mire of sin. To continually be defeated by lies. To continually be defeated by your thoughts. Continually to be defeated by your fears and your worries and in your anxieties. To completely be defeated by your tongue and your mouth and your habits. To be defeated by the bad habits and the addictions that you have in your life. God never, ever, ever intended for you to live that way. And yet so many people today, so many Christians today, they know that they have eternal life available. Many never take that. But many, even believers, continue to go back home and to be shackled and imprisoned by their sin. And folks, I want to tell you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he defeated that sin. We don't have to live there. You don't have to sin the way. And every one of us, as I look across the room, every one of us has our own sins that we do. Every one of us has our own things. For some, it's anger. For some, it's defeat and sadness in your spirit. For some, it's your mouth. For some of it's your mind. For some of it's the things with your body. For some, and the list goes on and on to the things, the pride that fills us. We are all, and many of us tend to live in defeat of those things. But brothers and sisters, can I tell you that today Easter to us means that we are delivered from that, because the deliverer did die. But the deliverer rose again, and he rose from the grave so that he could declare victory over your sin. Your sin. Yes, all of your sin. I'm talking this morning, this passage is talking about the sin that you are defeated in today. He came to deliver you very personally. Before we close, I want you to recognize that Jesus Christ today lives for you so that you can have victory. He has come today. Listen to this, my friend. Friends that are out here today that really maybe came today to this building with a smile on your face, but deep inside your heart is struggling. You live in defeat. You're fearful. You're anxious. You're just flat out defeated. Can I tell you, today is a great day for you, because today we celebrate that he has come to make it new. Just recently we were introduced to a song that I want you to hear that has so much to do about Easter, even though it doesn't mention Easter in it of itself. And I want you to look at this, a little video. I want you to think about it. And here's the message. Here's the message. The message of this song is Easter. Jesus Christ came, lived, died, but was risen so that you could have new life. And I want to tell you, my friend, that you can have new life today. You might be here today, defeated, without Christ, on your way to hell. And I'm telling you, he has come to make it new. You might be here today and you know you have eternal life, but you are defeated, you're discouraged. And I tell you, he's come to make it new. Would you let him do that? As you listen to this song, as you see the words that are on the screen, let it mean something to you. He has come to make it new.
What's the point?
The point is Easter is a day of forgiveness. Easter is a day of starting over. Easter is a day to make things new. And folks, can I tell you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he was buried in the tomb for 3 days, when he rose from the tomb, he made things new for you. Today, you don't have to live in that defeat. But folks, the fact of the matter is still, those are all tremendous things. We learn and we praise God and we say amen and we leave happy. But the fact of the matter is we need to turn to him. And what the question is what are you going to do with this resurrected Savior, Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Just the fact that he did it, it's not going to change your life. You need to trust him for it. Today, I've got to go home and take the things in my life that continue to defeat me. And I've got to say, okay, Sean, listen, you don't have to continue with that. Trust him because he defeated that thing for you. Trust him. Act upon that, Sean. For you, it's taking this and going home and saying, wait a second, I don't have to. I learned today that he rose from the grave, that I'm not under this bondage anymore. God, I'm trusting you to deliver me from this. You see, that's taking Easter and making it real today. And so my question to you is what are you going to do with Jesus today? What will you do with Jesus? You can grab your hymnals.